You want to restore the spark in your marriage, huh? Well, Dr. Tim McCarthy is here to help us do that. A lot of times, the spark in the marriage is completely obscured with, we have company coming from out of town, we have Christmas shopping to do, who picked up the kids, who's going to soccer, who did everything chore-wise, and there's very little even attention to the marriage side of that household. Dr. Tim, welcome back to the show. How do we make sure we don't lose track of the spark in the marriage?
Hey, well, it's good to talk with you again. Great to be on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, maintaining that spark is so absolutely important, and it's one of the things that so many of us take for granted. And a part of it is due to the lack of education about, well, what are we supposed to do in marriage? In the TV and the movies, it looks so easy. We fall in love. It feels wonderful. But then every day grind starts. And then you've got these holiday situations that amplify this whole problem we have in marriage of not really nurturing it, not really keeping that spark alive. And so how do you keep that spark alive? Well, first of all, you have to pay attention to the moment-to-moment experience in your relationship. Part of it is, let's not overextend ourselves, but also when we are overextended or when we are doing things, let's pay attention to the relationship. Let's just not get all snippy or snappy or feel frustrated because we've got too many presents to wrap or we've got too much shopping to do. Don't lose sight of the relationship. And this holds true not only during the holiday season, but in general of, you know, how do you maintain that spark? Well, there's several ways of doing that. Number one is making sure that you're giving the giving positive energy to your relationship, giving the compliments, giving the appreciation to your partner every day. And the other is actually affirming the way you feel about your partner, stopping and taking their hands and yours, and these are the more profound moments where you're really reflecting on your relationship and how you really care about your partner and tell them. And other moments are just, you know, be actually flirtatious. Those fun moments where you're joking around, you're having fun. So build in that positive energy.
You know, not that there's not more contemporary examples, but last night I was on some obscure cable channel, and it was the old television show Heart to Heart, Robert Wagner, Stephanie Powers. And you might remember they were a loving, attentive married couple that also did private investigative work and got into all of these plot lines. And I had forgotten, but I did notice it when I was young and the show was new, that was part of those two characters that was written into the show. They were constantly flattering each other. And it almost sounded like Robert Wagner was hitting on his own wife from the dialogue. I mean, it jumped out at me the other night. But couples who are successful and happy with their love life and the spark of romance, they do this. They still know and comment on what flatters the other in a romantic way, which might be common when you first know one another, but a lot of marriages just drop that and think it's assumed and it's understood and it's been said once. Why would I have to say it again? What is the value of keeping that kind of flattering conversation? I don't mean false flattery. I think you know exactly what I mean. Your wife looks good in a certain dress or in a certain style of outfit. That remains true. That doesn't mean it's unworthy of compliment or notice just because she knows how to dress and you enjoy it. But if you don't verbalize it, then the value of it is not appreciated on either side. You start to diminish noticing, and she then starts to feel unflattered and uncomplimented, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's interesting that you bring that show up. My wife and I just saw it probably about 6 to 8 weeks ago, and we were commenting on the same thing about it. And, boy, this is such an important concept that you're talking about, because we just take it for granted. People think, oh, well, you know, we're married and, you know, you should know. I've had, in couples counseling, I've had so many situations where women are starved for their husband to tell them something that's positive about the way they look or the way that they feel about them. I had one woman who said, my husband hasn't told me that he loved me for years. And other women who were saying, yeah, I want my husband, I would like for you to compliment me more. But, boy, it's the value of verbalizing it is just so important. And actually, the scientific research again shows that couples who actually flirt more with one another, they have happier marriages, as well as those that give each other more positives. In the most successful, happiest marriages, the research shows that they have 5 positives for 1 negative, even when talking about difficult issues. And, you know, women love to be told how they feel, you know, how, or they love to be told how beautiful they are or how nice-looking they are. And every day I tell my wife something about how I think she looks beautiful or she looks great. In fact, a couple of days ago, it was a busy morning, and she came in and said, you didn't tell me. I said, oh. And I said, man, sometimes to her, I said, you know, do you ever get tired of me? Should I not tell you that I think you're beautiful every day? Or she says, no, I really like to hear it.
You know, it's so interesting that we're getting into this angle right now. I can remember my first teenage girlfriend. So I think maybe I was 15 or 16. We went to different high schools. But we definitely had a line that we said to each other. And we used to say, have I told you yet today? And the other half of that was that I love you. But it was, have I told you today? Did I forget to tell you today? And it's unbelievable. I'm 60 years old. I'm sitting here. And 44 plus years ago, that was already in the DNA of that relationship. It's remarkable how sometimes the simplest and most direct expressions are the most effective. This isn't some kind of, you know, weird and complicated thing. This is pretty straightforward. Let's get into the subtitle of the book, which I think is so powerful, Challenging Society's Beliefs About Romance and Marriage. What are society's beliefs about romance and marriage that need to be challenged, Dr. Tim?
Oh, great question. Okay, well, here's one of the most common beliefs. You'll hear people say in a very authoritative way, now, when you get in a relationship, you shouldn't have to change, and you shouldn't ask your partner to change, just accept them the way they are. Have you heard that one before?
Oh, my gosh. You know, tirelessly. This used to be used as the litmus test. Well, you'll know you're with the right person when you don't have to do anything. And you go, well, why would I want to be in a relationship that I don't have to do anything in? But, yeah, I hear you loud and clear, and I think the audience, you are getting a national nod of agreement right now. What is real? What have you learned in the therapy work that you've done over the years? What's the truth about that?
Well, what I've learned is, first of all, that belief, and there's different versions of it. There's another version of it that goes like this. Now, you should just love me unconditionally and accept me the way that I am and don't ask me to change. Now, I'm sure you've probably heard that one, too.
Indeed.
Yeah. Those two beliefs are what I refer to as two of the most destructive, most harmful beliefs that exist in our society today. Because now people, we don't have any education or training in the best practices, these things that we're talking about complimenting one another, about giving positives, about learning how to resolve conflict. So we were not taught any of that stuff. And then we walk into a relationship and we start to have issues with the negative behavior patterns of your partner, and you bring it to their attention, they say, oh, no, don't ask me to change. Well, that's a sure recipe for disaster. Now we don't have the best practice, we don't have the skills, and then people resist when your partner brings something to your attention that needs to be changed. So the challenging of the belief is to challenge all of this and say, whoa, wait a second. We need to understand that we do need to change. Let's learn the best practices, and more importantly, let us learn to be open to the feedback of our partner. That's why I call this process this way of looking at romantic love and marriage as a relationship co-coaching, because it's understanding that we're going to need to give feedback to one another, and we need to change behavior, we need to change the negative relationship patterns that we've had, and we need to meet the love needs of our partner in a positive way. So let's enter marriage for the purpose of changing. Let's challenge all those typical ways of looking at marriage, which are, it should be just easy. How many times I've heard couples who come in and say, well, you know, it must be something wrong with my partner because it's this hard, we're having these patterns. I say, well, no, what you're experiencing is common. Yeah, you don't have any skills, so, you know, why wouldn't you expect that you're going to have repeating conflict? Nobody ever told you this is the way you need to handle it.
Indeed. Indeed. And, you know, I like the word growth, right? Because you say to people, all right, look, we're not asking you to become somebody else, but we certainly are sending you a signal that you can grow into a deeper understanding of your partner, and you can pull out nuances that are going to really pay huge dividends if that's what you'd really like to do. Wouldn't you like them to be happier than ever, not just having the apex of the happiness be 10 miles back on the highway of life and say, well, of course, we had that when we were young, but now it's the other way around. The new summit of happiness in front of you is really the most exciting. When you are with people who come to you for help in their marriage, couples, are you still learning new things about them? You've done this for years, but is it an unending learning curve for you as an author and one who's giving guidance and inspiration through your written work?
Well, what I experience is there's so many variations of relationships. But the common patterns and the common themes are exactly what we're talking about. Learning how to really identify what does your partner need to feel more deeply loved, and these are unique needs. Each person it may be different. There are common needs, particularly when we look at the differences between men and women. So typically, the tension in relationships centers around men not understanding how to be more responsive to the emotional needs of women, how to listen better with empathy and understanding rather than telling one's partner what to do, or rather even trying to just fix the problem. Not showing so much aggressiveness and frustration and anger in the way that you speak to your partner. But there's so many different variations, so I constantly come across new variations, but they're variations upon similar themes. But yeah, there's so many different types of matches of couples in the world, and yet we all end up really being faced with the same challenge. How do we deepen that love through unselfishly really meeting the love needs of your partner and then resolving conflict in a way that's softer and more respectful?
You know, there's very good news all over this book, but one of the points that I want you to elaborate on, because it is remarkable in contrast to so much couples' stagnant behavior, that when you've been together for a while and you're starting to feel this sameness and the lack of spark, it's hard for people to believe that maybe after 12 years or 15 years of marriage that they could, in fact, create a breakthrough in that relationship. Some people think, well, you know, you can touch it around the edges and, you know, on the margins, but this relationship is what it is, and it's always going to be what it is. And that's certainly not true. How can some of the tools in the book give you the opportunity to create a breakthrough for a deeper love than you've experienced before, even though you're 12, 15 years down the line?
Yeah, great question. And that's one of the things that has so inspired me and given me so much passion in helping couples, is really the discovery in my own professional career that one can do this and that you can create that. And I think you may or may not remember that I had done marriage therapy for 28 years until 6 years ago in 2010 when I developed this process. And that since then, I've been seeing couples change in ways just so much more quickly and more dramatically. Now, not every couple does, but a much larger percentage of them than I had ever seen before in the first 28 years of working with couples.
That's remarkable, and, right? That deep into the relationship, there is still the opportunity for breakthrough level change. That says something about the human spirit. That says something about the power of love.
It does. It really does. I have couples of all ages from 23, 24 to 25 to, now this may be surprising to some people, to seeing couples who are in their 70s and their 80s. So I've got at least two couples on my caseload right now that are in their late 70s and early 80s. And so the ability to take a relationship and really re-spark it and get it back on track, there's no age limit on this. There's no limit on the number of years that you've been married, but it does require that you approach marriage from a very different perspective, with a learning orientation, a desire to really change yourself. And, you know, it really comes down to unselfish love. What really creates these breakthroughs is two things that I found. Number one is when you consciously go out of your way to find out what that love need of your partner is and what it means. So if your partner says, well, I feel like I would like more appreciation, that would help me feel deeper love. Well, what would that look like to you if I were to show you more appreciation? And that words mean different things to different people. And that might be, well, I'd like for you to do something for me every day, a random act of kindness. Or another person, it might mean, I'd like for you to tell me, just, hey, you know, that was a nice dinner that I cooked, and it was great. Or so
and you know what I'm hearing
really
in
inquire.
That? I'm hearing make sure the compliments are personal. It's mm-hmm. not just that we had a great dinner. I love the way you make lasagna. I love the way you do that. You know what I mean? That to personalize it really carries a lot of weight. You know, I love this subject, and I'm looking at the clock. I don't want to get away from making sure people know how to get the book. Go to Amazon. The title is Relationship Co-Coaching, A New Approach to Deeper Love, Less Conflict, Challenging Society's Beliefs About Romance and Marriage. Timothy J. McCarthy, Ph.D. Do you already have another work on the drawing board? Are you working on a new book? What's your next big project?
Well, I've got a couple of ideas for books, and I'm going back and forth regarding them. But right now, I'm just attempting to sort of complete some of the marketing for this one. And by the way, the audience can go to my website, drtimmccarthy.com. That's just D-R-T-I-M and then McCarthy.com. And I encourage all listeners to do anything to try to improve the relationship. And there's a free, extraordinary relationship self-evaluation that they can complete with their partner and just sit down and take a look at your relationship. And you can look at the top 14 or so best practices in marriage and pick two or three of them for the year and as a New Year's resolution and just begin working on those things.
And tell me briefly about your workshops. I see a button on there for speaking and workshops. How does one avail themselves of a workshop with you, Dr. Tim?
Yeah, just go to my website and contact me through there, and we'll see when one of the next workshops is that's happening.
And you'll coordinate from there. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
You know, we need exactly what you're telling us today for holidays, for the winter. I have been thinking all the time during the interview, this book should be bought in pairs of books. You get one for yourself,
yeah.
You get one for your partner, maybe you keep it in the car, maybe your partner's got it at the office, but what a great reminder of what people really and truly want. So don't just get one copy, get two. Dr. Tim McCarthy, thank you so much for the time today. The website, drtimmccarthy.com. A real pleasure to have you back on the show. I'm sure we're going to be reaching out as we get to the doldrums of January, and we can reignite people in that post-holiday melees that sometimes they find themselves in. But you're a great shepherd to guide us through what can be, you know, some tough times and unleash the potential of these couples to make each other truly and deeply happy. I really thank you for the time today.
And thank you.
You bet. Dr. Tim McCarthy, The Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network, AM/FM stations all across America. We're going to get you caught up on local news, weather, Wall Street, and sports tonight. All the playoffs are falling in.